Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What's up? It's Draymond Green. I'm back for my 14th NBA season, and my podcast, The Draymond Green Show, is back too. This season, I'm breaking down games, reacting to the biggest NBA stories, and sitting down with teammates, rivals, and culture shapers. And trust me, I'm not holding back, on the court or on the mic. Two new episodes every week, new segments, big conversations, real basketball talk for the real hoop heads. Listen to and follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts. We're back. We're better. Let's get it.
Bears fans, this is Take the North.
What's the reason, Duck? It's here.
With your hosts.
Love these guys.
Dan Wiederer.
The Bears don't have the readiness to go all in a championship or bust year.
And Mark Grody.
There's a certain amount of urgency to this season for the Bears. And I think the biggest urgency is make sure you have a quarterback in Caleb Williams.
We're going to take the North and never give it back.
Welcome into the Take the North podcast presented by Odyssey. I am Dan Wiederer with a very special episode today. I am joined by New York Daily News columnist and Giants beat writer and the host of the Talking Ball podcast. It's Pat Leonard. Pat, how you doing?
Dan, I'm doing well. I always love coming to Chicago. Being a Notre Dame guy out in the Midwest, it's like going to my second home.
It's a good thing. It's, we've crossed, I guess we're coming out of halftime technically because we're into week 10 now. We've had 9 weeks behind us, 9 weeks ahead, and we've got a couple of football teams in very different places. And so I want to unpack a lot about the New York Giants, both present and past with you today, and just kind of set the stage for what is, a compelling game in a lot of ways Sunday at Soldier Field. I guess I'll start you out here because the Giants are now on a 3-game losing streak. They're on a very extended road losing streak, as you reminded me of. What is the state of the New York Giants as they get on that plane this weekend to come to Chicago?
Yeah, the state of them, and as you know, a young quarterback can change the way teams view a team, or players and people outside view a team and hope for the prospects of the future and even how you process results week in and week out. But the patience in New York is running thin despite Jackson Dart's promise as their first round pick out of Ole Miss, because they just can't find ways to win games. They don't know how to finish. They don't know how to close. The defense is unable to stop the run, and they have annual injury problems that seem to crop up and bite them at the worst times. This year, it's been Malik Nabers, Cam Scataboo. Obviously, everybody saw that ugly injury. Yeah. So there's this hope and promise for the distant future because of what Dart has looked like. But by and large, even he, with his mobility and his moxie, has not been able to overcome the issues organizationally that continue to drag them down, which is why they are 2-7 going into this game.
We've had years of conversation in Chicago about the concept of learning to win, and we've seen it go awry. many, many times. It's happening in the right direction this year for the Bears, but it sounds like the Giants are caught on that little path where it's so hard to find ways to pull out games that you have a chance to win. Obviously, the schedule's been tough recently. I think the last three losses are Broncos, Eagles, 49ers, which is not the easiest of schedules. But what is it you see that is preventing this team from getting over the hump in some of these games?
Well, they're definitely struggling with responding to adversity. And so it snowballs on them a little bit. They have a little bit more leadership on the team this year than they did last year, but they still have this ingrained in them that when the tough yards start happening against them in the third and fourth quarter, the shoulders start to sag. It's a little bit of a here we go again type of mindset. Bears fans will understand how key it is that Dexter Lawrence is not himself this season. I say that because I remember a few years ago, the Bears coming to MetLife and essentially Dexter and Saquon were the difference in the game, right? The Bears easily could have won the game, but the Giants had the two best players on the field that day. And number 97 for the Giants is a little bit of a microcosm of what the Giants are this season. Just not good enough names on paper that might intimidate you or say that this team looks better than the record actually is. But when you see him on the field, just hasn't been the same coming off a dislocated elbow last year. Wasn't really in top conditioning and game shape coming into the season, unusually so. Just got called out last week prior to the 49ers game by one of the legends of this organization, Carl Banks, on a podcast. And Lawrence responded by calling Carl Banks publicly delusional, saying F his opinion, and went out onto the field on Sunday against Christian McCaffrey and the 49ers and had a combined tackle, one combined tackle, and a tackle for a loss. So when the leaders of your team, the guys who are second, he's a two-time second team all pro, are not playing well, not taking accountability, and the run defense really is one of the worst parts of the team, that has a trickle-down effect. And you're absolutely right, Dan. Like, the schedule has been relentless. They've run into a buzzsaw just really ever since week one, and the entire NFC East is dealing with that. And as you see, the Cowboys are struggling with it. Washington, with all its injuries, are struggling with it. But the key with the Giants is, Dan, they've been in some of these games. The loss to Dallas in week two, no business losing that game. They just find a way to lose it with some questionable calls and coverage, with Russell Wilson throwing a key interception in overtime. And then in the Denver game, everybody saw that. Arguably, statistically, one of the worst quarters of football ever played by an NFL team. And I think, especially with regards to this Bears game now and coming off of these three straight losses, I think, like I said, the shoulder sagging snowball effect, that Denver game really took everything out of them, I believe.
Yeah.
And, you know, they do have some hope week in, week out, and week out because Dart is good, but he's not so good and so much of a salve for everything that it just cures all.
Let's talk a little psychology here, given the state of both of these teams. The Bears are coming off a crazy victory Sunday in Cincinnati, in which they blew a 14-point lead late and then found a way to hit a 58-yard touchdown pass with 17 seconds left to get over that hurdle and leave Cincinnati with this feeling of euphoria and relief. And then a couple weeks earlier, as you mentioned, the Giants are on the exact opposite end of a game that they should have won, had a huge lead. Just take me inside of your eyes on that afternoon as you're watching that football game slip away in historic fashion, in spectacular fashion, absolutely extraordinary football game to watch back on highlights. I can't imagine what it was like for you there covering that and trying to process that all in real time.
Right. Well, I'll start with this. The second the Broncos scored their first touchdown in the fourth quarter, I looked at the reporter to my right and I said, do the Giants win this game or lose this game? And he looked at me and goes, what are you talking about? Because they were up so big. And I said, what are you talking about? You don't think this is possible? They have it in them. Now, did I think they were going to do it? No, it was very hard to imagine because every single possible thing had to go right for the Broncos to do it. But I knew it was in the Giants' DNA to allow the Broncos to get close there. I think a couple things stuck out to me while I was watching that. Number one, the Broncos practice harder than the Giants. That was told to me before the game that Sean Payton's team practices hard. If you watch Denver, they ascend in fourth quarters, and it hasn't just been against the Giants. They did it to the Eagles. They just got the Texans late in a road win. And so that's something they do. The Giants just weren't physically ready for it. On top of that, Dan, I think the thing that jumps out to you in those moments, as you know, like you said, from covering even the Bears' own versions of these crazy games, is you also need to give the opposing team some help to win that too. And it's not just the Broncos turning it on and Bowen Nix making plays and the Broncos defense bowing up. It's also Brian Daboll and Mike Kafka calling a pass play on a third down when they could have just forced the Broncos to use their third and final timeout on a third and five, I think it was, that results in an interception that Dart throws, gives the Broncos a short field. They also have a timeout in their pocket. And after the game, Brian Daboll, and I say this as just somebody who's, as you, just like you, I've been around a lot of coaches and I've heard different types of answers to these questions. His answers to game management and time questions are, they almost reflect that he doesn't fully understand even what he did wrong in hindsight. It's almost like he's so grounded in the X's and O's, this play worked, this play didn't. They're not fully recognizing, understanding, and operating from a standpoint of, we can help our team win this game by playing against the clock. And that's what I think during, as I'm sitting there in that stadium, and you've been to Denver, but I've been there. I've never felt it like this. That stadium was shaking. It was so, it was so loud. It was like a college stadium, like an SEC stadium type environment in the fourth. But that's what I walk away from that game thinking is, to, as I started saying at the beginning, not a surprise because they don't know how to manage games to give their players the best chance to win.
That was 3 weeks ago, right? Because my reflection on that was the Bears were playing the Saints that day. Game was wrapping up. We're getting ready to go down to the locker room. I don't think I realized until 5:30 Chicago time that night that the Giants had lost that football game. And then saw something on social media. And I was like, wait, what? Like that thing got completely away. And I just we've been through it here in Chicago. Those devastating losses, they can take 4 or 5 weeks to fully get behind you. And it sounds like with your description here that there's been a psychological blow to not just that loss, but that loss being part of a season where there's been some things that haven't gone right.
Yes. And I think specifically to them now going to Chicago, this streak of 10 straight road losses that ties a franchise high, they can set a new record with 11 straight if they lose to the Bears. I think not only is it this psychological effect on them, I believe also in these hostile environments, some teams thrive on that. Some teams, you back against the wall suits them. This Giants team does have a strong pass rush if you just constantly drop back and throw. So if Ben Johnson wants to throw the ball 40 times in this game, he's going to hand the Giants a win. But if you just run the ball at the Giants, play action pass under center, and force them to face adversity for four quarters, I don't think they have it in them anymore to push back all the way. Because it's, as you know, from seeing these Bears games that have gotten a little wild, it's like the teams that react to the negative plays more and stronger than they do the positive ones are the teams that fall and lose those games usually.
Yeah.
Like Jackson Dart, even though he's only 22 years old, he said after the last loss here to the Niners, he said, we have to find a way to not collapse when things start going wrong. He's like, we're playing against other professionals. They're going to make plays. They're going to beat us sometimes on plays, situations, routes, whatever it is. We just have to get back up and make the next one. And, you know, I think being on the road and having in Denver an ability to finally say, yeah, look at what we've done. Because that was at that time, that was a Denver team. They were leading the NFL in sacks.
Yeah.
The Denver players going into the game were trash talking the Giants as if like this isn't anything, like Nick Benito and Jonathan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored Jobs boost your post for quality candidates, so you can reach the exact people you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Did you know that parents rank teaching financial literacy as the toughest life skill? That's where Greenlight comes in, the debit card and money app made for families. With Greenlight, you can send money to kids quickly, set up chores, automate allowance, and track spending with real-time notifications. Kids learn how to earn, save, and spend responsibly, while parents have peace of mind knowing smart money habits are being built with guardrails in place. Try Greenlight risk-free today at greenlight.com/odyssey. That's greenlight.com/odyssey.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Jonathan Cooper is a guy who apparently never says a word, was trash-talking Jackson Dart and the Giants at the podium on a Wednesday. So the Giants came into this game like, we're going to, you know, shove it right down their throats. And for three quarters, they did it. And it was like this feeling, like you said, you know, this feeling of euphoria for a second of, yeah, we showed them, not recognizing that once they got punched in the mouth, they were going to need to push back like one or two more times, and they just weren't prepared to do it.
I want to get into some big picture Brian Daboll stuff in a few minutes, and I definitely want some more on Jackson Dart also. But I want to stay here on the run defense on a small picture level, because the Bears are coming out of Cincinnati where they ran the ball for 283 yards against a putrid Bengals rush defense. And I'm thinking, man, that is the way you take advantage of a vulnerable rushing defense. And then I look at the stats on Tuesday morning and I realize that the Giants have allowed more yards per rush than the Bengals. Those two are at the bottom of the NFL in rushing defense. And so when you have a coach like Ben Johnson, who's so incredibly devoted to establishing a running game that is punishing, and you put him up against these defenses that don't seem to have answers to stop it, I don't know how the Bears don't get 200 plus on Sunday at Soldier Field. Do you share that sentiment? Is there any way that the Giants can find reinforcement to keep this from becoming a game where the Bears just use their offensive line and their backs and run all over the Giants on Sunday?
You make an excellent point. In fact, I'm glad you brought that up next, because to me, this is the first and last headline of this game, unless Ben Johnson gets in his own way. You know, I was looking at some of the preview stats, and you just listed obviously what they did to the Bengals, which is probably better than this. But I read that the Bears lead the NFL in takeaways on defense and turnover differential, and they rank second in rush yards per game this season. And I just went like this, like, you know, might as well cancel my flight. I mean, you know, the second quarter against the Niners, you should watch. You might have already, but watch the last drive the Niners have. They get the ball back with like 38 seconds left. And I think the Niners at the time were up something like 17-7, maybe. and they were having success running the ball and getting the ball out quickly when they did throw, mostly play action. And with 38 seconds left, the Niners also were getting the ball back coming out of halftime. And so the prudent thing was to try to hit a big run and see if McCaffrey gets you out near like the 45, 50, and then maybe go from there. But as I'm watching the play unfold, Kyle Shanahan drops Mac Jones back to throw. It's a deeper drop than he's been doing most of the first half. And the Giants have Burns, Thibodeau, Lawrence, and Carter on the field. So basically all of their horses. Burns strip sacks, the ball floats into the air. Carter catches it midair. Giants get the ball. Now they squandered it because they're the Giants. They go three and out and they miss the field goal before the half. But at that moment, when he dropped Mac Jones back to pass, I'm sitting there saying Kyle Shanahan's ego is getting in the way here.
Yeah.
Like, I know he wants to go for more points, but he's losing perspective on how to win this game. And so to your point, yes, this game is as simple if Ben Johnson continues to stick to running the ball, to being physical, and doesn't get that itch that so many young offensive coordinators and play callers get of, you know, the run's working, but I have this awesome gadget pass play that I've been working on all week. Like, no, 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 no. That is the way to get the Giants back into the game. That is what they do well. The one thing they do well is when they know you're going to pass, they will get there.
Yeah.
You know, even though Burns is the only one with any meaningful amount of sacks. He has 11, leads the NFL. After that, I believe Thibodeau is second with 2.5. But they will, like Abdul Carter, even though he only has, I think, a half a sack on the season, he leads the NFL. I believe he leads the NFL. He definitely leads all rookies. I think he's top two or three, if he doesn't lead, in like quickest pressure rate or quickest pressure time to the quarterback on his pressures. And so, you know, the thing about Johnson, I know even back to his Lions days, is as much as you think of a high-powered offense as a team that loves to throw the ball, and sometimes no doubt, Goff or Caleb now like ends up with good passing stats, you know his bread and butter. He is smart enough to know running the ball 40 times is going to win me this game and will do it, I believe.
Yeah.
And yeah, you're right. The Giants average 5.5 yards per rush against them. That is worst in the NFL. The last thing on this is to reinforce my point about their shoulders sagging and really not 100% effort down the stretch of these games. In each of the last 2 weeks, Saquon Barkley and Christian McCaffrey, the horses of those teams' backfields, has gone off.
Yeah.
But in the second half of the game, when it was time for the Giants to try to make one last push and it was time for the Eagles and Niners, respectively, to put the game away, the backup running backs for both of those teams had even more success than the starters. You had Tank Bigsby of the Eagles had 104 rushing yards on 9 carries in the second half after Barkley went for 150. And then Brian Robinson Jr., the former Commanders back, he comes in and goes for like 5 for 52 and a touchdown against the Giants last week. So it's not just establishing the run. It's also how the Giants have been finished off.
I'll pass that memo along to both DeAndre Swift, who's expected to be back this week, and Kyle Manungai, the rookie who just went off for 170 plus in Cincinnati on a big day. And so it seems like that's going to be the recipe for the Bears until they stray from it, which I don't think they will under Ben Johnson. Wanted to ask you about Jackson Dart because he's been a fascinating storyline from afar in the early part of the season. I guess I'll take you back to the pre-draft process and what it was about Dart that the Giants fell for, and then maybe married up with that, how you would describe this sort of charismatic moxie that he does bring to the football field.
Well, Brian Daboll's involvement after the season, once he got more involved in the person-to-person, you know, traveling on the road and seeing these quarterbacks and getting to know them more than he was able to while he's coaching during the year, that shifted the Giants' focus from Shedeur Sanders to Jackson Dart as their primary target. Joe Shane did like Jackson Dart, but Daboll's influence is what pushed it over the top. And I'm not comparing him to Josh Allen as far as saying he's going to become that, but Daboll, Dart, that relationship and Daboll's opinion of Dart's impact on a team and his skill set is analogous to how he fell in love with Josh Allen in Buffalo. It just is. And so like that is what got them there. Now, It is interesting, though, Dan, that as strongly as Dable felt about him and the Giants supposedly felt about him, you know, when you feel that strongly about a guy as your franchise quarterback, you're the number three pick. You just take him, right?
Right.
So
sure.
Yeah. they didn't take him until 25, where they traded up. They actually gave up this year's third round pick, included in that deal, which definitely impacted their ability probably to do something at this trade deadline as well. But really from the get-go, even though they handed Russell Wilson the starting job, which is a whole nother story, Dable was clearly getting Dart ready to play early. You know, he was taking some first team snaps in practices, especially late in the summer. And the second Russell Wilson faltered, Dable was ready to put him in. Now, when I talk about how bad the Giants are right now, and as I told you, I feel like Chicago's offensive game plan should be easy and should take care of it. The one reason the Giants are going into games right now still believing they can win is Jackson. And it's his legs are a huge part of it. He also, last game was a little bit different. He was a little less accurate last game, but mostly he's been more accurate, I think, than anybody would expect based on kind of the pre-draft evaluations going back to Ole Miss. He also reads defenses and the field better than people thought coming out of college, where a lot of people assumed it was just like a one-read system that he was running with Kiffin there. One thing that the Giants did to get Dart up to speed and get him rolling right away is they went back into his Ole Miss offense and let him pick plays. And so he's been running a combination of Mike Kafka stuff, Brian Dable stuff, and Ole Miss stuff.
Okay.
And that's how they got him going. The flip side of it, Dan, is, again, when it comes to whether the Bears allow the Giants in a game, the way that Dart got going early against the, so they win two of his first three starts. They beat the Chargers. They beat the Eagles. Those two wins, the Chargers and the Eagles mistakes were rushing straight upfield, not containing their lanes and letting Dart out. When he extends plays, when he uses his legs, he becomes five times more dangerous. And he's a good pocket player, but he's five times more dangerous and he's very fast. So you wouldn't think of that as, oh, you think of like Lamar Jackson as fast and all the other running quarterbacks are mobile. But Dart like made Zach Bond look silly in the open field against the Eagles the first time they played him on Thursday night. If you let him get downhill, he will outrun your linebacker on the second level if the guy doesn't have the perfect angle. Now, so what's happened though in the last couple weeks or few weeks really, even in Denver where the Giants did score some points, starting in Denver with Vance Joseph's defense, they started rushing for keeping their coverage back because Dart does like to throw downfield. And the four-man rush is trying to get home to him, but their priority is to keep him inside the pocket.
Sure.
Force him to throw over top.
Sure.
And that has neutralized, along with the Scadaboo injury, the way that the Giants have been able to extend plays. All this is to say, Dart's the reason that the Giants can win this game if he gets going. I was looking at the Bears stats. I saw that Montez Sweat only has four sacks this season. A little bit surprising to me. Maybe
come alive recently, but has been a very, very slow start after a disappointing 2024 season as well.
Why is that? Like, what do you see from him?
Look, like you just have to be able to win one-on-ones when there are one-on-ones there. You have to understand when you're one of the highest paid pass rushers in the league that you're not going to get a full game's worth of opportunities to make your impact. And so when those opportunities present, you got to capitalize. And he just hasn't consistently capitalized on those. Now, again, the last three games, you felt signs of life. And it is one of those, okay, I said it on the radio this morning, there's proof of life from Montez Sweat. Like you see that okay, like when he does capitalize on those opportunities, it can be quarter changing, right? And potentially game changing with the way the game flow goes when you make one of those big plays. So it'll be interesting to see if he can stay on track. The Bears have been very depleted up front. They lost their other starting defensive end, Dayo Odangbo, to a torn Achilles tendon this week. Dominic Robinson on IR. They are not on IR, but out with a high ankle sprain. They've just been struggling to find the combination up front. And obviously they're going to have to get it going there. How do you describe Dart's swagger? It seems that like there's some infectious, whatever you want to call it, from the young kid.
Yeah, yeah. Well, so to take you back to when they made the quarterback change, guys like Dart, but when they pulled Russell Wilson in week four and put Dart in, a lot of the locker room went, wait, what? Right? Because the reason was they brought in Russell Wilson, handed him the job, and they also basically told the team, follow Russ. You know, he's our North Star. He's our leader. And so ripping it up, despite some of the good things Jackson was showing, felt a little bit definitely too early to the players. The players were openly saying, like, let's wait and see. So as much as they liked Jackson as a person and they liked his moxie and some of the playmaking, they were very confused. All of that is to say he has won the team over in a lot of ways. And that is kind of how much competitiveness and fire he has. Like, they do appreciate he's in it with them. He puts his body on the line too much, honestly, if, you know, if you're asking any Giants fan or anybody who runs the team other than Brian Daboll. But he's said it a lot on the record, but it's just something that people in the Giants need to start doing, is believing they can win every week. And it sounds very obvious, but that's how bad it's gotten around here. Like, Dart consistently will say, he goes, I felt like we were going to win today. I thought we were going to win when we were down 10. I think we're going to win next week. Yeah. Like, that's the mindset we have to have. He is clearly not afraid of putting the organization on his shoulders. I think it's going to happen to his detriment here if they don't protect him from himself.
Sure.
Like, Dable's been leaving him in these games late to fight for extra points to make these final scores look better. And he just keeps getting teed off on by defenses in garbage time. I mean, you saw what can happen with Jaden Daniels in this game last week. But his moxie, I would say, is he's got some flair to him, and he has, at least at certain points, backed it up. Like, even the Broncos game, he was far from perfect, right? The final drive where they scored to take the lead, the referees handed them a couple calls, and he threw the interception in the fourth. But once he finishes and scores, he's on the sideline screaming at the team, let's effing win this thing. Let's get this win. And this is a team full of veterans who, they're not standing there calling Jackson Dart their leader by any means, Dan, but in those moments, you see, like, why they drafted him. This is why there are people out there saying that they feel like there's some teams out there needed quarterbacks who screwed up, because Dart does have enough to him intangibly, in addition to what his tangible talents are, that it just feels like a positive player to put at that most important position to follow him, like to make it analogous to the Bears situation, where some of the conversation since Caleb got drafted was like, is this team going to follow him? Is he franchise quarterback material? We know he's talented, but does he have that, that kind of magnetic presence that guys gravitate to? Jackson feels like he's answered those questions early. Sure. He's just now more on the other end of, okay, you know, and this is, to put it bluntly, Daboll and these Giants, when they've had Daniel Jones.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored Jobs boost your post for quality candidates, so you can reach the exact people you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Did you know that parents rank teaching financial literacy as the toughest life skill? That's where Greenlight comes in. the debit card and money app made for families. With Greenlight, you can send money to kids quickly, set up chores, automate allowance, and track spending with real-time notifications. Kids learn how to earn, save, and spend responsibly, while parents have peace of mind knowing smart money habits are being built with guardrails in place. Try Greenlight risk-free today at greenlight.com/odyssey. That's greenlight.com/odyssey.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Tommy DeVito, Drew Locke, Tyrod Taylor. You always see like this flash for a week or two. And then after 3 or 4 weeks, it all starts looking the same.
Yeah.
And so everyone's excited about who Jackson Dart is as somebody who can represent the franchise and how he carries himself and how competitive he is. But now he's got to prove that this isn't going to become a next Tommy DeVito, a next Daniel Jones, where it's like, hey, we had some solutions. And then once everybody adjusted, you know, we got nothing.
Bright lights, big city, certainly fearless. I'm going to get you in here now with a challenge because we have a little something on Take the North podcast that we call the Cold Tub Time Machine. And we take it back to various places in the past. And so I'm going to take you back to 2022. And I want you to forget everything that happened after 2022 and just put yourself there. You and I are both going into a coaching search in the winter of 2022. The Bears got an opening. The Giants got an opening. Brian Daboll's one of the hottest guys on the market. I remember watching him win a playoff game with the Buffalo Bills where I think it was 47-17 game where I think they scored on every possession in a playoff game against the great Bill Belichick. And so he was a very hot candidate at that time. You and I are trading notes on the coaching search, trying to figure out who's going to get who. You wind up with Brian Daboll. He has an incredible first year in New York. I think they win 9 games, go on the road in the playoffs, beat the Vikings, have this really successful season. Brian Daboll's the coach of the year. From a 2022 lens only, what was the secret sauce for Brian Daboll? What made that magic come to life in year one? And I'll tell you why this is relevant here in Chicago when you're done with that answer.
So offensively, he adjusted and did something he never did in Buffalo, which was run the ball. He looked at Daniel Jones, Saquon Barkley, and the offensive weapons or lack thereof at his disposal. And he said, how do I best use these things? He and Mike Kafka got together. Kafka, the offensive coordinator, was calling the plays at the time. And they operated an offense that they felt like could protect them from their weaknesses and highlight their strengths, even though he just came off of that season in Buffalo where it was hand Josh the ball, get out of his way.
Yeah.
Now, defensively, Wink Martindale was a key part of it because he ran an aggressive style of defense. Their personnel was not very strong. But what I always tell people about 2022 is the secret sauce was the marriage of Martindale's scheme and plan and Daboll and Kafka's offensive plan, the collaboration of every week going into that game and saying, okay, let's say we won last week by running the ball a lot and pressuring. This week, different opponent. If the right thing is to throw the ball a little more and drop in coverage a little bit more, that's what we're going to do. It sounds very obvious, but a lot of teams, coordinators, coaches say, "This I run what I run," and they take it week to week and they tweak it a little bit. That season was just, especially because of Martindale's defense involvement and then their ability to work off of each other, they just had a way of creating a game plan every week to win that game. And they lost it. They lost it with the staff changing. They lost it with, again, teams figuring out what they were doing in the second half of the season sliding. But that's my best answer is a smart way of adjusting to the personnel they had on the field and working together as a staff to coach each week uniquely.
The parallels here are obviously Matt Nagy came in 2018, big city, bright lights, coach of the year, leads the Bears to the playoffs. You think you've got a superstar at head coach, and then it never sustains itself. And the Bears don't have another winning season again. They go back to the playoffs in 2020, but they were 8-8, and they were really kind of a fraudulent playoff team that year in the first year of the 7-team playoff bracket. And so now you're here in Chicago now with Ben Johnson, this rock star coach who's got everybody come into life with the imagination of what this can be. And then you have to ask the question, how does it sustain itself through your eyes? Why? And you mentioned some of it there. What have been sort of Brian Daboll's Achilles heel here over the last few seasons? And what has not allowed the Giants to sustain what was a seemingly good amount of momentum coming out of 2022?
Yeah. Poor game management from his vantage point to start. Their playoff loss. So they beat the Vikings on the road in the playoffs in 2022, and then they go to Philadelphia and get wiped out. And a good example of why is now Philadelphia, just like now, at that time was too talented to not score touchdowns against them and to coach in any kind of way that would be on your heels. And Brian Daboll, very early in that game, gave the Eagles a short field with a fourth down. They go right down the field and score, make it 14-0. And before the first quarter was even over, the game was over. And yeah, that gave you a little snippet coming off of a season where, like you said, he wins coach of the year. They get into the playoffs. They win a playoff game for the first time since 2011. And yet you walk out of it with a sour taste in your mouth. That was a harbinger of what was to come with Daboll managing the team, managing games. In 2023, Dan, what happened off of that is the staff relationships that were not strong to begin with frayed even worse. And Daboll essentially was finger pointing, was blaming Mike Kafka, pulling play calling away from him week to week or giving it back. He gave it to his quarterbacks coach, Shea Tierney, one of his guys, in the second half against Dallas. You also saw him and the Giants organization try to gaslight Wink Martindale by firing his two top lieutenants after the season. And then Martindale, who didn't want any part of the operation the way it was running, walked out and resigned. And during that season, when things were collapsing, Joe Shane, the general manager who was hired along with Daboll in 2022, he got on the headsets for four games and listened in to the coaching dynamic because it was so toxic, it was so bad, and everything was coming down. And Daboll never really recovered from mismanaging the team in that respect, because Martindale leaving meant that they had to fill that space with essentially their fourth choice at defensive coordinator, Shane Bowen. And Bowen has not been able to cover up the weaknesses Daboll has as a head coach and as an offensive mind the way that Martindale did.
Do you see a scenario in which he's in danger at the end of this season of not coming back for 2026?
Yes, I think he's going to be fired. I think
so the Nagy parallels continue. You draft a quarterback and then after year one, you launch him.
Yes, I think the most likely scenario right now is that Shane remains the general manager and Daboll gets fired. The Jackson Dart, as much as Daboll deserves credit for drafting him and putting him in and what he's looked like so far, he's also a huge chip to attract a better coach. And frankly, Giants ownership has, in my opinion, has seen enough of, as much as this roster is not good enough, Dan, there are at least 3, 4, 5, 6 games you could point to over the last 2.5 years that the Giants should have closed out and couldn't because their coaches don't know how to manage games.
It's incredible stuff. I'm going to hit you with 3 rapid fire things game related for Sunday, and then we'll get you out of here. But let's start here, because the Giants seem to have a good kickoff return team. And this is relevant in Chicago this week because the Bears special teams is a mess. They gave up a 98-yard kickoff return to start that game against Cincinnati on Sunday. 297 total kick return yards for the game against the Bengals. Obviously, some of that is because they kept scoring and had to kick off a lot. But what do you see from the Giants special teams that could be a small X factor in this game?
Giants special teams, well, the newest thing is that they've added Jalin Hyatt, a wide receiver who is seldom used on offense but has 4.4 speed and is a deep threat. They've added him to their kick return group. He was fine last week, not crazy explosive, but has top speed if the Giants create a lane to break one. So that's something that there's not a lot of tape on, but the Bears, if they know Hyatt at all, and I'm sure they do through the draft, you know, that's something to keep in mind. And otherwise, I think the special teams is really a thorn in the Giants' side.
Okay.
Special teams has been something that's really undone them from a standpoint of, you know, the kicker, Graham Gano, struggling through injuries, missing a field goal at the end of the first half last week that really set them back after they seemed to generate some momentum with a turnover forced by the defense. And that has also been kind of a roster frustration from a fan standpoint of Joe Shane and the Giants, is hearing those kick return numbers scares the death out of any Giants fan or anybody who knows the Giants roster, because their special teams has been a break even at best in their best moments, but they've suffered injuries. They've lost some key guys on that side of the ball. And so I think that's another area where the Bears can exploit the Giants and gain an advantage in a part of the game that, you know, that the Giants really, on the flip side, need to create an explosive to tilt the scales in their favor in a game like this on the road.
Brian Burns' season. Tell me about what makes him so dangerous and why he's had the impact he's had.
He's tired of losing. He was on the Panthers for years. He's on the Giants. All he has done is lose, even though he's a really good player. He's tired of it. He stepped up 3 or 4 weeks ago and gave an impassioned speech to the defense. And this was right before they went out and blasted the Eagles at home, just talking about how much the game means to him, how much he needs it to mean to everybody else, how much it's now or never. X's and O's wise, they've been scheming each other up to get one-on-ones. Their amount of talent on their D-line, even though it hasn't made a difference in run game, against the pass, Dexter Lawrence commands tons of double teams. And so they then use stunts and personnel usage to get guys like Burns free for one-on-ones in key moments. And he's making the plays when he gets those. Third and long is a nightmare down for teams who play the Giants. Burns has made several key plays in situations like that. You know, and Thibodeau mainly has almost like sacrificed his production at times and Lawrence for Burns in the passing game, but he just came in ready to go. And Dan, you cover in Chicago, and just in your career, you've covered plenty of crazy athletes, right? Guys who, yeah, even among pro athletes, are just a step above everybody else, even in their locker room. Burns is like that. Like, his Spider-Man persona and nickname really is appropriate. There's just few guys in the league and in pro sports who are built like him.
Last one for me. You did bring up the upset of the Eagles on a Thursday night stage last month. What allowed that to happen, and what should the Bears be worried about of a feisty underdog team that certainly has the capability playing at their best to win this game Sunday?
Yeah, the Eagles were banged up in that game. Jalen Carter didn't play in that game. Quinyon Mitchell left early on defense at corner, where they were depleted, and they did not control their rushing lanes to let Dart out of the pocket. So that all contributed to the Giants, and they had Scadaboo at the time, just having a lot of success moving the chains, getting first downs, creating favorable down and distances. And the Eagles had some problems on offense too. They threw the ball too much. Kevin Petullo and Nick Sirianni got happy throwing the ball. I mean, they had a drive to open the game. Saquon Barkley had like 31 yards on two carries, and then they just took him out and threw the ball three times and had to kick a field goal. It was very unusual. But that's on offense and defense. That's how you can lose to the Giants. Like, I think the number one thing in this game to watch is, how much does Ben Johnson throw the ball? How much does he throw the ball in shotgun and obvious passing situations? And how often, when he throws the ball, does Caleb Williams hold the ball? Mm-hmm. That's the way to lose to the Giants. But yeah, if they run the ball, they run play action passing, they run, I don't know how often they throw under center, Dan.
Oh, yeah.
If they throw under center and it's back foot lands and it's out from Caleb, and the run is working and the ball comes out quickly, this should be an easy win for the Bears, in my opinion. But it's really just about discipline from Chicago.
You're going to see five or six plays with Caleb play action boot either left or right, wide open receiver, 12-yard completion, the type of stuff that just gets an offense going. And you're going to see that Sunday for sure. And then if they marry themselves to the running game, they're going to be good. I'll get you out of here on this. As you look at the Bears this week, what's your greatest curiosity from New York to Chicago looking in on the team that I cover in terms of what you're trying to see from this group this week?
I think what you hit on it, you asked about Daboll and the history. I even go above that to Joe Shane, Ryan Poles, right? And
sure,
you see what Ryan Poles has done well. You see what he struggled with early. I think the thing that jumps out to everybody is, and you know, it's that trade he made in 2023, right? Trading the number one pick, getting back DJ Moore, all those assets, ending up with the number one pick to get Caleb. In a lot of ways, that saved him. It revitalized the franchise. It turned the page. It allows you then to recruit a coach like Ben Johnson, and off, maybe you're off and running, right? Joe Shane doesn't have that moment. And he does have a quarterback who's promising that he just traded up to draft. So it's slightly analogous, but I'm very curious watching the Bears' talent level, looking at their roster and looking at the plan they are putting on the field, to see how much further ahead it is than Joe Shane's with the Giants. Because ultimately this year, as I said, I think the coach is in trouble, but I think the GM could be too. Now, my feeling is Shane won't get fired, but the numbers are 3-18 in their last 21 games, 5-21 in their last 26, 5-17-1 in division, 20-39-1 overall.
Whew.
You know, you're looking for the feather in the cap that Poles had amidst the fray, the noise, some of the misses in the draft, and you know, things like Chase Claypool and that trade. You're looking for the thing. And, yeah, there you go. You're looking for the things that you're going to be able to say, no, this is the right GM for the job. Clearly, it's just the coach, and this, something else has to change. I don't know if I'm going to see a Bears team that looks like the Giants at that stage, or if I'm going to see a Bears team that clearly has done some key things right with Poles running it at these critical junctures that Shane has not. That's my curiosity.
Well, it's a big game. It's a fun game Sunday at the Soldier Field down by the lakefront. I'm looking forward to seeing you up there in the press box before the game gets going. Incredible insight here today, Pat. Always good talking. That's Pat Leonard. You can read his work in the New York Daily News. He also hosts the Talking Ball podcast. Well, let our audience know where they can channel over to your podcast for a little bit and get some insight from your end.
Yeah, no, thanks for having me on. Always great. Yeah, so my YouTube channel, it's PL on NFL is the handle. It's the Talking Ball with Pat Leonard podcast. We have guests every week and we have lives during the week, but the bread and butter is our post-game live chat from the stadium every week after every Giants game. So after you and I cover this game at Soldier Field and I go down to the locker room, talk to Daboll, Dart, and the players, I'm going to come back upstairs, file to the Daily News, and then I go in and I launch a live show with fans, and I can give them a first read, first insight, and early news on updates, analysis from the stadium, Giants injuries, you know, spinning it forward, where you go from there. And those are extremely popular because, just like yourself, Dan, I think there's not enough people doing what you and I are doing, which is bringing people inside and, you know, behind the looking glass. And I think that that's been a huge part of what we do at Talking Ball, and I'm looking forward to doing it from Chicago again on Sunday.
You and I will probably be elbowing each other for press box space to go record these post-game podcasts. It can be hard to find the right place to record from, so we'll see who's done writing first and who can get to that spot.
Well, not good tackling out here in northern New Jersey, so you'll probably get to that spot before I do.
Get it locked in. The stage is set. Bears, Giants, Sunday noon at Soldier Field. Pat, thanks for joining us. That's Pat Leonard. I'm Dan Wiederer. Great talk. See you out there.
Thank you, everybody. The Bears.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Once upon a mundane morning, Barb's day got busy without warning. A realtor in need of an open house sign? No, 50 of them, and designed before 9.
My head hurts.
Any mighty tools to help with this plight?
Aha!
Barb made her move. She opened Canva and got in the groove.
Bulk creating Canva sheets. Create 50 signs fit for suburban streets.
Done in a click, all complete.
Sweet!
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.